as to that section of the prophecies of Ezekiel which begins with chapter 40.
我们要来看以斯帖四十章开始这一段。
You have been reading these following six chapters, and so you know all about it.
你们已经把这下面的六章都过了，所以你们知道其中的一切。
You notice that this chapter and this section begins with a new date.
要注意这一段这一章是从一个新的日期开始。
When the prophet gives us a date, it usually relates to a new phase of things.
当先知提到一个新的日子的时候，他那都是提到那件事情新的一面。
It means that one phase is ended and another phase is beginning.
意思就是说，有一面已经讲完了，另一面开始。
Chapter 39 finishes what we may call direct prediction.
39章是可以说结束了那个直接的一篇的讲论。
And chapter 40 begins what we may call apocalypse.
40章开头可以说是可以说是给我们打开看一下。
Here we have a revelation as to the realization of God's purpose.
在这里我们有神的一个启示来给我们看见神的目的。刚才说那个打开看就是启示的意思。
You will notice that the date is given as 25 years after the captivity.
你请注意这里的所说的日期是被掳后的第25年。
We know that the captivity lasted for 70 years.
我们知道那个被掳有70年之久。
25 from 70 means that there were 45 years yet to go.
70年减去了25年，那就是说还有45年的前途。
That is something that we must keep in mind.
这是我们要记牢的一点。
Because this section is looking a long way on.
因为这一段是给我们看见前头很远的事。
We might ask the question, why should this vision be given 45 years before the end of the captivity?
我们要问为什么这个意象要在被掳结束45年之前就给了我们。
The answer to that will come in our general consideration as we go on.
这当我们往前去看的时候，我们大概就会得到了这个答案。
Now we cannot go on into this section without facing the problem of interpretation.
我们要看这一段就没有办法不加一点解释。
Probably few parts of the Bible have been more controversial than this part.
很小圣经中有几段比这一段好像更显矛盾。
And there are many schools of interpretation.
并且对这段有许多不同的解释法。
Now I've got to stop here for a moment.
我现在要在这里稍微停一下。
Because what I'm going to say may only be helpful to those who have responsibility in ministry.
我刚才说的也许是只能帮助那些做话语指示的人。
One difficulty that I have been facing through all these sessions is this.
我在这一段一直碰到的一个难处是这样。
There is such a variety of spiritual position represented in this company.
因为在这里我们碰到的难是这样，因为在座的人中有好多不同的人。
There are many who are only at the beginning of their training.
也许在座有人不过是头一次来受训。
perhaps their knowledge of the Bible is limited.
也许他们对圣经的认识有限。
There are others who are not responsible for ministry.
也有人并不是做话语执事的。
They are in the work in a more general way.
不过是在侍奉主的事上一般的责任就是了。
But then there are all these very important people here.
那么还有一般就是很重要的人在这里。
These men who have real responsibility in the ministry and in the church.
这些人是负责话语指示，也负责治理教会。
I have been trying all the way along.So to present the message as to meet the need of all.
我一直就是想要做到一个地步，能应付在座的人所有人的需要。
That is not always easy.
当然这不是容易的一件事。
Those who are further advanced are wanting something deeper and stronger.
那些已经走到前头的，就盼望听见更深的、更强的话语。
Those who are not so far advanced might be mystified about much that was being said.
那些不是这样向前的，听见这些话，恐怕就有点不了解了。
That is my problem.
这就是我的难处。
Now, in the next few minutes, probably what I shall say will only apply to those who are in ministry.
我下边所说的一段话，也许是只能够用在那些做话语知识人身上。
And yet, it may be helpful to all who are studying the Bible.
虽然如此，也许对所有读经的人都会有益处。
So we come to this problem of interpretation.
所以我们就先来看这一段一点的解释。
Of course, you will remember what we said right at the beginning of the course about principles of interpretation.
我们还记得在我们这个训练开始的时候就说到那个解释圣经的原则。
And we said that those principles apply to the whole of the prophecies of Ezekiel.
我们已经说过那些原则能应用在以西结全本的书上。
That is true, but they must be brought in a very special way into this section of the prophecies.
对于全书是这样，尤其对于这一段更要这样。
I would suggest to you that you take that outline of principles of interpretation and just read it over again before you start at chapter 40.
最好你们没有读40章之前就把那些解释原则章目先看一下。
Because those principles are the key to this section of the prophecies in a special way.
那些原则尤其对于这一段是 一种所有。
Now about the interpretation of these chapters.
我们现在就把这几章需要解释的地方看一遍。
We are going to come on the house of God.
我们是要来看神的圣殿。
And then the river.
然后再看那一条河。
The inheritance and the distribution of the land.
然后再看那个产业和如何分地。
And finally the city.
末了就看那座圣城。
And we ask, how is all this to be interpreted?
我们就问说，这些到底如何的解释？
Now I may mention the several schools of interpretation.
我说，对这些解释有几种不同的解释法。
There is what is called the historical literal school.
有那一种历史字面的解法。
That school teaches that Ezekiel had seen Solomon's temple.
这一种的解法是说，以西结是看见了当日所罗门的那个圣殿。
And with certain alterations, he was reproducing the pattern of Solomon's temple for the people after the captivity.
他是稍微有一点的更改，就是把所罗门当日那个圣殿的样子重新再摆在这些被掳归回的人跟前。
Therefore, for that school, what is in these chapters is the pattern of the temple to be built after the captivity.
这种解法，他是说，德里士所里都是为着比卢归回的人要造的圣殿的一个图样。
There are a lot of people who believe that.
有很多人都相信这一种的说解法。
Well, there are very, very big difficulties about that.
若是这样解法，就有很大的难处。
Well, we leave that for the time being.
我们现在把这个先摆在这里。
And come to another school.
我们再来看另一种的解法。
This is what is called the historical ideal school.
这就是历史的理想的解法。
This temple never had been.
这就是说，这个圣殿从来没曾有过。
It was an altogether new idea.
这不过是一个新的理想而已。
Something greater and better than anything that had been.
比实在有过的东西大
又好。And after the captivity, there would be something better than there was before.
那就是表明说，在被掳之后，总要有一点比被掳之前好的东西。
This was the ideal temple.
这是一个理想的圣殿，不是个实际。
And this ideal temple was going to be built after the captivity.
这个理想的圣殿是要在这个被掳归回的时候建造出来。
Well, there's a whole school that believes that.
有一派的人有一种想法，就信这一个。
That is what was intended to be after the captivity, but of course what did not happen.
这就是说，要在被掳之后啊，要有的，想要有的一个圣殿，是在一直是没曾有过。
Then there is a third school.
那么还有第三派的说法。
And this school believes that what is here was what was actually begun after the captivity.
这一派的说法，就这里所记载的，就是被掳归回之后啊，马上就开始有了。
This is the temple that the remnant began to build.
这就是那些被掳归回的移民开始建造的圣殿。
But that they were never able to do it.
但是他们要这样建造，可是他们从来没能这样建造。
They found that they had not got the resources.
他们因为没有得到那个材料的供应
and the difficulties were so many and so great
并且难处太多又大
that they had to build something very much more simple
是因此他们只好造一个比这个简单太多的圣殿
that school so interprets those words from Haggai and Zechariah about disappointment of those who had seen the earlier temple.
这一派人他们这样说是根据于哈该和撒迦利亚书里头说到那个时候被掳归回人造好的圣殿有一些老人看见觉得比那个旧殿差的太多就感觉失望。
They had been led to believe by Ezekiel that the latter house would be more glorious than the former.
他们照着一世节这是说也就相信以后建造的圣殿应该比从前的更荣耀。
And when they looked upon that latter house, they were disappointed.
那么等到他们看见他们实在造出来的圣殿呢意思说不如一世节是说的他们就灰心了。
They had started to build according to Ezekiel's pattern,but they had not been able to do it.
他们是想要照着以西结那个图样来建造可是他们不能这样做法。
That is what this third school teaches.
这就是第三派的人的讲法。
They go a little further.
他们还多说一点。
And they say that Herod took up the pattern of Ezekiel and built his temple according to it.
他们说希律以后把以斯帖的这个土壤拿去了就照着这个以斯帖的土壤建造了希律是建造那个圣殿
So that the great temple which existed in the days of Jesus really corresponded to this pattern
他们说所以等到主耶稣在世的时候所存在的那个大的圣殿实在就是照着这个以斯帖的土壤而造的
You can believe that if you like
你们若信就可以信。
you will see presently how impossible it is.
观下你就看见这是不可能的。
Then there is number four school.
那还有第四派人的讲法。
This number four jar has its own interpretations.
但是这个四家的弟兄姊妹们可以接受这个解释了。
This is the school that believes that this is the temple that is going to be built in the millennium.
这一派人他们相信说，这个土壤的圣殿是千年国度的时候才有的。
When the millennium comes and the Jews return to their own country, then they will rebuild the temple according to the pattern of Ezekiel.
当千年国度以色列人回国之后啊，他们要照着这里的土壤重建圣殿。
I think the largest school of interpreters believe that.
我想最多的一派或者最大的一派就是信这第四种的说法。
Well, we'll leave them with that for the moment.
我们现在也把这个摆在这里。
And then we come to number five school.
我们现在来看第五派的说法。
This is the Christian spiritual school of interpretation.
这是基督徒中间的属灵的一派的解释法。
That is that all that is here in this section is just typical and symbolic of something spiritual.
这里他们说凡这里所记载的那都不过是一种的表号一种的象征属灵的事而已。
This is not a very large school of interpretation.
这种的解法这一派的人是很小。
Now we have got to choose between one of those five schools of interpretation.
那么这五派的解释法我们要选出一派来。
You are bound to come up against these things in your ministry sooner or later.
早晚在你们这话语知识的人呢，都要碰到这个问题。
And it is very important that you know where you are in this matter.
那么你们必须知道这件事，你们该有什么看法，这是重要的一点。
My method this morning will be to present you with two or three great facts.
我今天早晨所要说的话也许被你们要看见两三点重要的事实。
I will put them to you in the form of questions.
我要用发问的方式和你们说出这几点来。
Firstly, will there ever be a return to the ground which means that all was not fulfilled in Christ?
第一，到底会不会有一个回头到原初的立场上，而不是在那里迎接基督的
？Let me put that in another way.
让我再定一种的说法。
Is there anything in the Bible that really supports this view that the time will come when the ground will again exist?Where everything was not fulfilled in Christ.
在圣经能不能找出根据给我们看见原初的地位还得以恢复而在哪里不能够应验基督。
We believe that all this was fulfilled in Christ.
我们相信这些都是应验在基督身上。
That all sacrifices were finished in his one sacrifice.
一切旧约的那个献祭的事都在基督那一次献祭的事上完成了。
That all priesthood was gathered up in and finished with Christ.
所有祭司的职分也都在基督身上结束而完成了。
We believe that all types and figures were fulfilled in Christ.
我们相信所有的预表所有旧约的都在基督身上应验了。
We believe that that applies to the sacrifices, the priesthood, and the house of God.
我们相信在基督身上一切愿应验了这个原则能应用在祭物、祭司和圣殿这一切的上头。
We not only believe But we know that the New Testament teaches that.
我们不仅这样相信，并且我们确实知道新约是这样教训我们。
Will the time ever come in the history of this world when that will all be reversed?
到底在历史当中，将来会不会有一天，这一些已经在基督上应验的，还会再回头来？
When we get back again behind all that and look on toward it,
我们就再回头到那些个事情的后面去，往前去看事情，会不会有这个光景？
Was the work of Christ a once forever work, or only until the millennium?
基督的工作是不是以此就永为着永远的，或者它是完成的，只是到千年国度，意思千年国度以后还要再重新做。
And when the millennium comes, all that will be set aside and will be back again on Old Testament ground.
那么等等，这就是说，等到千年国度到了，基督是完成的，也都是做罢了，要再回头重新再来完成。
Can we believe that?
我们能不能相信这一个说法？
Well, if you can believe that, then you can accept one of these other four schools.
若是你能相信这种说法的话，那么你就可以接受其他四派人任何一派的说法。
Let me put that in another form.
让我再换一个说法来说。
We just take out of our New Testament the letter to the Hebrews.
我们就是仅仅把我们新约圣经的希伯来书拿出来。
We hold that up in the millennium.
我们就把这本希伯来书拿到千年国度去。
And we tear it to pieces.
那就我们要在哪里把这本希伯来书切掉它。
And we say that does not apply to the millennium.
我们就要说这个希伯来书在千年国度上不能应用。
We are starting all over again with priests.And sacrifices and altars and temple and everything else.
因为我们需要重新再有旧约的祭物、祭坛以及圣殿以及祭司等等。
For the millennium, Christ did not finish all that.
这个千年国度来说，他们以为基督并没有把这些旧约祭物、祭司、圣殿等等的事完全完成了。
Well, that is the first problem that you have got to solve.
这是你们需要解决的第一个问题。
For my own part, I do not accept that interpretation.
就我自己而言，我的确不能接受这一种的解释。
I cannot believe that there ever will be a future time when the work of Christ is as though it had never been.
我永远不能相信到了将来有一天，好像有一个时候来到，基督从前去做的工作都像一点没有做过一样。
Then we have to face another big problem.
那我们还是要再应付第二个另一个的难题。
The description of the temple and the city and the land and the river represent physical impossibilities.
这个圣殿、这个圣地、那个一条河，这是个尺度，乃是代表一些个事情在形体上、物质方面是不可能有的。
If you will take up the full circuit of the wall that encompassed the holy ground,
若是你来看那个天堂，
Encompass the holy ground, the wall round the holy ground.
那个天堂周围底下的尺度
it will amount to 100 it will amount to half a mile and 166 yards.
那就是有
half a mile, yes.
半英里和
how many yards? 166.
166码。
And if you measure the square of Ezekiel 42:20,
若是你们来看42章
you will find it six times as large as the measure we have just given for the wall.
您能看见这里说的有我们刚才说的这个尺寸是60倍子的。
So that what we have here is a total of 3.5 miles and about 140 yards.
那就加起来啊，乘起来啊，就有三英里半，并且是140码之多。
So what have we?
这里我们能看出什么来？
We have a compass far greater than the measurement of the whole of Mount Moriah.
我们就得到一个尺度比整个马拉雅山那个尺度还大。
A physical impossibility.
这个是在物质上来说不可能的。
The whole contour of the land has got to be changed to have a temple according to these measurements.
那整个地的尺度，若是照这个来说，你都得更动一下。
This river is a physical impossibility in that land.
这里是说的河，若就着物质方面来说，在那个迦南地也是不可能有的。
If you look at this temple,
若是你看这个圣殿
and take its measurements,
若是把它的尺度算一算
you will find that it is larger than the whole of the present Jerusalem.
那整个圣殿比今天整个的耶路撒冷那个地盘还大。
And the Jerusalem that is in this book is larger than the whole of the land of Canaan.
耶路撒冷在这本书所记载的又比整个迦南地的地盘大。
Now note that it was the Spirit who was showing this to Ezekiel.
要注意这些尺度啊都是当日圣灵给以斯帖看见的。
The Spirit must be correct.
圣灵是不会有错了。
If this thing is a physical impossibility,
若是这些东西就物质来说是不可能的。
That is, it is something that really could not be on the earth.
这就是说，这个是具体的事，是在这个地上不可能有的事情。
That is, in that country,
特别是在那个迦南地不可能有的东西。
Then the spirit must have another meaning.
若是这样的话，那么圣灵定规是有另外一个意义。
I pointed this out to someone on one occasion.
曾有一次我把这些指给一个人看过。
And I said that for such a temple, you would have to go right into the sea.
若是有这样一个圣殿的话，那么这个圣殿就跑到海里去了。
The answer was, well, in the book of the Revelation, it says there will be no more sea.
那个天哪。那个听人就回答说，其实你告诉我说没有海了。
You see how people try to get round things.
你在这里可以看见人样要接受那个错的东西。
Before we touch that, let us take one other problem.
我们没有在我这个之前，那我们再提起一个问题来。
Paul teaches us this very clearly.
保罗在这件事教导我们的很清楚
that the mystery of Christ and the church was hidden in all the prophets
就是说反关乎基督与教会的奥秘在旧约预言里头是隐秘的是隐藏的
that mystery was hidden in all the scriptures of the prophets
这一个奥秘关乎基督和教会这个奥秘是隐藏在旧约语言书里面
It had been hidden from all ages and generations
是历史以来隐藏在哪里的
But in this dispensation that mystery has been brought to light
但是到了新约这个时代这个奥秘就启示出来了
I think that is the key to the whole situation
我想保罗这个话就是这件事的整个的一个解释
What we have in this section of Ezekiel is a system of spiritual principles.
我们在以斯帖这本书里所看见的乃是一套属灵的原则。
It is not a literal temple that ever was or was intended to be or ever will be.
这不是说到一个实际的圣殿从前曾参拜过，或者有意识造出来，或者将来会有这么一个圣殿。
It is a symbolic representation of what obtains in a spiritual way in this dispensation.
这不过是一种表号，说明在今天新约时代是有这个属灵的东西。
That is the only honest and safe way of interpreting these chapters.
这是对于这几章最稳妥最好的一种解释了。
So we must approach it in that way.
所以我们就是应当这样的解释才可以。
And when we have seen that the mystery is now revealed,
等我们看见这个奥秘今天是启示出来了，
We see that Ezekiel was saying things which were much greater than he understood.
我们就会发觉以斯帖他那时候说的事情是远超过他所能知道。
The Spirit was showing to Ezekiel something beyond Ezekiel's understanding.
圣灵在那时候是给以斯帖看见一些东西，是以斯帖是没有办法领会。
But the New Testament teaches that by the Spirit we have come into understanding of these things.
但是新约告诉我们说，借着圣灵，我们就能够明白这些事。
The whole meaning of spiritual understanding is that we see what the Spirit has always meant.
那个属灵的领会的意思，就是说，我们借着圣灵能够领会这些个事情。
It is one of our laws of interpretation that the whole Bible is focused in Christ.
我们那些解释圣经的原则当中有一条，就是说整本的圣经都是以基督为中心，都集中在基督身上。
And that the work of the Holy Spirit in every dispensation related to Christ.
圣灵无论在那个时代里头，它都是说到基督身上去。
The work of the Holy Spirit never did relate to something finally on this earth just for a time.
圣灵从来不做一件事就说到一个东西不过是地上的，就是那个东西最终之中就是那东西自己而已。
The work of the Holy Spirit has always been related to the eternal thought of God, and that is centered in Christ.
圣灵的工作总是知道神永远的那个旨意是要得的一个东西，而那个就集中在基督身上。
So that what we have in these chapters is a symbolic representation of Christ and His church.
所以我们在这本书里所看见的就是一种一些表号说明基督和他的教会。
Now I don't know how much help all that has been to you.
我不知道我说这些对你们能有多少的帮助。
It is very technical.
这些是相当专门的。
But I think it is important for Bible students to understand.
但是我想这是我们读经的人能明白这本圣经有帮助的。
I leave that with you and come to this section.
我把这个留在这里，再回头啊来看这一段。
We shall be able to only go a little way with it this morning.
我们今天早晨只能来看一点点。
There are several preliminary points to notice.
这里有几件首先需要看的。
Firstly,These later visions are governed by the first vision of chapter 1, verse 28.
第一，这幕后以斯帖所看见的意象，都是受着头三章那些原七天的意象所支配。
Look at chapter 43.
要看四十三章。
At verse 3.
第三节。
And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city, and the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river Kiba, and I fell on my face.
七段如从前他来灭城的时候是见的异象，那异象如我在加巴鲁河边是见的异象，我就
复活在地。
You see, that statement brings the vision of chapter 1 right over into this section.
这里给我们看见，这里的话说到，在头三章是看见的意象，我就带到这一段里面来了。
So that all that we said about the vision in chapter 1 governs this new section.
所以我们说过，在第一章里头的意象是支配着这四个意象。
We cannot go back over all the details of that first vision.
我们没有办法再回头去看那第一个意象的细目。
But I suggest that you take your outline of that first vision and bring it here before this section.
我请你们把那个意象的那些纲目摆在这个意象跟前来看。
And see how that every section of it applies to this particular part of the revelation.
你就能看出来，把那个意象里头的每一部分都能够应用在这一段的意象上头。
Or in a word, all this is governed by the throne with the man upon it.
总而言之，这是意象，都是受那宝座上是人的形状所支配。
And therefore, we are again right in concluding that what follows is a representation of that man on the throne.
所以我们能够再一次说，结论地说，这里头所讲的一切，也都是说明那个在天宝座上的人。
In various ways, we shall come on that fact as we go along.
当我们往下看的时候，我们能从几方面来看到这一点。
Now notice two governing factors here.
我们在这里要注意两个支配的因素。
They are represented by two words.
是两句话表明的。
One is the glory.
一个词就是荣耀。
The other is the spirit.
还有一个就是灵。这两个词句。
You put a line underneath those words.
我盼望你们在这两个词句旁边都划线表明一下。
And then you come on another thing.
然后我们还要看另外一件东西。
The glory and the spirit.
就是灵圣荣耀和灵。
Carry that over into the New Testament.
把这一个带到新约去看看。
And you find that the revelation of the church in the New Testament comes by the Spirit on the ground of Christ glorified.
我们在新约里就看见关乎教会的启示。乃是因着基督得着荣耀而圣灵来赐的。
The beginning of everything is Christ glorified on the throne.
那个其实的一切都是根据基督得着荣耀在宝座上。
That is where you begin the book of the Acts.
这就是使徒行传那本书开始的一个地方。
The Spirit comes because Christ has been glorified.
圣灵所以降下来是因为基督得的荣耀。
And the Spirit's work is connected with the church.
圣灵降下来的工作乃是为着教会。
The formation and the revelation of the church.
就是为着要成全启示出教会来。
Those things are quite clearly seen here.
在这里能清楚地看见这些事。
The vision of the glory.
就是一个荣耀的意象。
The man glorified on the throne.
一个人那个在宝座上得着荣耀的人。
The spirit coming.
圣灵降下来了。
And then the house of God being brought in.
然后就给我们看见神的殿。
Of course, that is so simple.
这是很简单的说法。
It is so simple that nobody could fail to see it.
你这简单到一个地步，任何人都能看见。
It is very difficult to separate the man with the rod from the spirit.
就是很难把那个手中拿杖的人和圣灵来分开。
If you read these words in chapter 40,
若是你们来读四十章有的话。
You find it very difficult to make that separation.
你就发觉很难把圣灵和那个手拿杖的人分开。
The Spirit is mentioned.
这里说到圣灵。
man with the measuring rod is mentioned.
耶稣的一个人拿着杖。
And then he is referred to.
并且又说到那个他。
Who is that he?
那这个他是谁？
Is it the Spirit or is it the man with the measuring rod?
是这个他是那个圣灵呢，还是这个收拿杖的人？
That is not made clear.
这个没有清楚说明。
As you read, it looks as though they are the same.
你往前读的时候，好像他们两个就是一个。
And I think in principle they are the same.
我想在原则上他们也就是一样。
The man with the measuring rod is the Spirit.
那个手中拿着量度的杖，或者我们中文翻译量度的杆的人，就是圣灵。
The Spirit relates to the man with the measuring rod.
这个圣灵也就是和那个量度的人有关。
Perhaps we could understand that if we took just a look at the first chapter of the book of the Revelation.
我们只要把启示录第一章读过，我们大概就会明白这个意思。
John there says, I was in the Spirit.
约翰说，那个时候我是在圣灵里头。
And I saw.
并且我看见了。
What did he see?
他说，他看见什么？
He saw a man with a measuring rod.
他看见一个人手中拿着量度的杆。
That is the vision of Christ.
那就是关乎基督的一个意象。
Coming to measure the church.
基督来量这个教会
or the churches
或者两众教会
these two are moving together
这两个是同一同行动
the spirit and the divine man
圣灵和那个神圣的人两个一同行动
and their activity is one activity
他们二人的行动就是一个行动
to measure the house of God
就是来测量神的殿或者神的家
That is just a little point of interpretation
这不过是点出一点点怎样的解释
But it helps us to see that here we have New Testament truth again
但是这个就能帮助我们看见我们在这里有新约圣经的真理
We remember all that the Lord said about what the Holy Spirit would do when he was come
我们记得读经说圣灵来了要做什么
The Spirit's work when he was come would be all related to himself.
等圣灵来了他是做一切工作都是要说到基督。
He shall take of mine and show it to you.
圣灵要把这是主说的话要把从我得着的都给你们看一下。
The work of the Spirit would be to show Christ.
圣灵的工作就是给人看见基督也就是启示基督
to give the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of Christ
就是给人看见基督的长基督的阔基督的高基督的深
all the measurements of Christ
给人看见基督整个的尺度
that is what the Lord said would be the work of the Spirit
这就是主所说的圣灵要做的工作
That is exactly what the Spirit did.
这也就是圣灵在这里所做的事。
First of all, he presented Christ.
第一，圣灵是把基督摆在我们跟前。
And then he went on to show the dimensions of Christ.
然后他就向前给我们看见基督的那个长阔高深。
How great Christ is.
就给我们看见基督是多大的一位。
Christ is too big to be confined to any earthly Jerusalem.
基督大到一个地步，没有法子用一个属地的耶路撒冷来限制他。
Christ is too big to be contained in any earthly temple.
基督大到一个地步，是地上任何一个圣殿没有办法放进去。
And Christ is too big to be confined to any earthly country.
基督大到一个地步在地上任何一个国也没有办法把它放下去
Therefore what we have here just bursts all the bonds of the old Jerusalem and the old country
所以从这里给我们看见的就是把整个那个旧耶路撒冷那个旧迦南地完全分裂了
That is I think a very clear spiritual truth as contained here
我想这里说记载的真理
这样说就很清楚地给我们看出来了。
I said that what is here was a physical impossibility.
我已经说过，这里所记载的就物质方面来说是不可能有的。
When I use the word physical, I do not mean just our body, you know that.
但我说这个从物质方面来说，我不是说我这个仅仅说我这个身体。
I use the word in a geographical sense.
我是用这个字眼呢，有地理的意义在里面。
Most of you understand that.
你们大家都懂得这个意思。
This was a geographical impossibility.
这个就说地面上地理来说，这里的记载是不可能有的。
And Christ is a geographical impossibility.
基督是地理是没有法子容纳的。
You cannot contain him in
那个天上。
In order to see this, you must be in a heavenly position.
为着你要看见这东西，你就必须是在一个属天的立场。
We can read what is in Ezekiel.
我们能读以西结所记载的。
In the same way, we can read what is in the New Testament.
同样的，我们也能在新约里来读。
The result is this, that we get a on the one side, an earthly thing,
结果一面我们就读到一点地上的东西。
And on the other side, a contradiction.
在另一面我们就读到一个矛盾出来。
What do we find?
那么我们能找出什么东西了？
If you were to go into the theological bookstores of London or Europe,
你们若是要到伦敦还是美欧洲任何这个信学书店里去，
Today you would find more than ever books on the church.
你在哪里就会找出来今天讲到教会的书是比从前都多。
They are very wonderful expositions of scripture.
那里有很多很多圣经好的注解。
Yes, they teach what is in the Bible very, very cleverly.
不错，他们把圣经里头的东西讲解的是非常聪明，用得非常聪明。
You might say of these writers, they have a wonderful idea of the church.
你们可以说这些写书的人，他们对于教会有相当好的一些理想。
The teaching is all right.
那是教训是对的。
It is according to what is in the Bible.
因为那是都是照着圣经所记载的。
But we look at the writers.
但是要把那些个写书的人看看。
And we find that they are the leading men in the earthly system of the church.
我们就发现了他们是书地上那个主旨基督教里头的首领。
All this is a nearly earthly system.
他们完全是在完全是个地上的组织。
Well, I'm not going to enlarge upon that.
我不是在这里要多说对这件事。
But what it amounts to is this, they do not occupy a heavenly position.
我的意思就是说，他们不是在一个属天的地位上。
They are viewing it all from an earthly standpoint.
他们都是从一个属地的眼光来看这一切教会教会的事。
And therefore, what they see is an earthly thing.
所以凡他们所看见的都是属地的东西。
And it is a contradiction to this heavenly thing.
这些书籍的看法都是和天上的一项相矛盾。
You can only really see what the Spirit presents when you occupy a heavenly position.
只有当你处在属天的地位上，你才能看见圣灵是自己的。你看
to see the Lord and His church as we have it in Ephesians, you must be in the position that is there.
要看见以弗所书里所记载的基督和教会，你就必须处在属天的地位。
He has raised us up together with Him and made us to sit in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus.
神一定叫我们和基督一同复活，并且也叫我们和他一同坐在天上。
It was from that position that Paul gave us the revelation of Christ and His body.
就是从这个属天升天的地位，使徒才给我们看见那个基督和他身体的意象和启示。
He set me upon a very high mountain.
他把我安置在一个至高的山上。
This is a higher mountain than was ever in the old Jerusalem.
这是一座山，比耶路撒冷哪里说有的，相对说有的都高。
One more thing for this morning.
今天早上还有一件事，这是四十章第三节
，Chapter 48. And he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass.
他带我到哪里，见有一人，那个形状如同铜。
I think we shall have to stop halfway through that verse.
我想我们在这一节停一半。
Behold a man.
看了有一个人。
Here comes back our man idea.
这里又带我们回头来注意那个人的观念。
You see, it is the man idea that is going to govern everything.
我们要知道，就是这个人的观念支配着本书的一切。
That is a thing that we have said again and again.
这件事我们需要一次一再的去说。
There was a man.
有一个人。
And there's a very great deal gathered into that statement.
这一句话里头包括很多的东西。
Everything is going to be according to the measurements of that man.
下面一切的事都是要照着这个人是量的那个尺度。
We make the statement again and leave it there.
我们把这个话再说一遍。
Whose appearance was like the appearance of brass.
他的眼他的心感如同铜小子里。
This also takes us back to the first vision.
这又把我们带到第一个意象去。
You remember the vision of the cherubim?
你还记得那基罗波的意象。
Their feet were like fine brass.
他们的脚像炼净的铜一样。
When you come to the first chapter of the book of the Revelation,
我们在翻到七十六第一章
In that presentation of the Son of Man
在哪里给我们看见人子的时候
Don't forget that that is the description
那是哪里的那个说法
In verse 15 you find his feet were like unto burnished brass
你在七十六一章十五节那里说他的脚好像锻炼的铜
I expect you know what brass represents in the Bible.
我想你们都知道在圣经里铜是什么意思。
It represents righteous judgments.
那是代表公义的审判。
Here then, in the symbolism, all the activities and ways of this man are those of righteousness.
这里就给我们看见这个人一切的作风一切的行动都是根据公义
The unrighteous man has been judged and put away
那个不义人已经受了审判被废弃了
He has no place in the house of God
那个不义人在神的家神的殿里没有地位
The great altar was made of brass.
那个当初献祭的圣殿是用铜造的。
And everything was consumed on the great altar.
一切的祭物都在那个铜祭坛上烧毁了。
It is the symbol of righteous judgment.
那就是一种表号，说明公义的审判。
God judging everything in righteousness.
神凭着他的公义审判一切的事。
There is no place left for the flesh. All is reduced to ashes.
在那个审判那里，每一点地位留给人的肉体，所有人的肉体都烧成了灰。
Therefore, this is another man.
所以这里就有另一个人
This is the righteous man
这是那个义人
And everything is being measured according to righteousness
每一件事都照着这个义来测量的
I think we will just have to leave it there
我想我们今天就停在这里
How much scripture we should quote
有多少的圣经我需要引他
of the Lord Jesus, it is said, He is made unto us righteousness.
关乎主耶稣圣经说，神使他成为我们的义。
The Lord will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has chosen.
神要按着公义，借着他所设立的人审判天下。
Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
耶稣基督是那义的。
Much more scripture could be brought in.
还有好多的圣经都可以引导这件事。
It is what Christ is in character that is the standard of the house of God.
这就是说，基督他的性质如何，就是这个神圣殿的一个标准。
So the comprehensive statement is that the whole dimension of the house is holiness unto the Lord.
所以这里有一句中国的说法，整个圣殿就是神的那个圣洁。
We shall come back to that later on.
以后我们还要回头来看这一点。
But it becomes perfectly clear at this point that there is no place for the natural man in this house.
那是我们需要注意，就是神的圣殿这里没有肉体的地位。
This house.Only gives a place to the righteous man.
在这个神的殿里头，只有义的地位。
The man who has the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ.
就是那些因着耶稣基督而得着神之义的。
So if the Lord wills, we'll proceed with this tomorrow morning.
若是主许可，明天早晨我们还要来看这个。
And go on with the measuring.
我们就要看那个尺度。
I'm aware that most of what has been said this morning is very technical.
我深深知道今天早晨说的是太专门了。
But I do hope that you'll begin to see something.
但我确实盼望你们能开始看见一点东西。
Shall I say you have begun to see someone?
我愿意说你们开始就看见一位了。
For it is Christ by the Spirit who is coming into view.
因为这就是基督借着圣灵替我们看见他自己。
May we be given these visions of God.
但愿神把这个意象赐给我们。